Price, America.
Plow up the soil! Plow up the soil! Dig into the ground. Silver, gold, coal, copper. Dig up the ground. Chop down the trees. Destroy the forest. Chop down the trees.
This waste must stop.
Waste must give way to conservation.
But what is conservation?
The Department of the Interior is your agency of government charged with protecting and safeguarding the majority of your natural resources.
Harold L. Ickes, secretary of that department, has said, "Conservation is the wise use of those gifts of nature upon which we rely for support, comfort, and spiritual solace. Every natural resource must be made to serve mankind while preserving all that is possible for the needs of future generations."
What is our obligation in this democracy? To use our resources wisely. Listen to the story of our past, of our triumphs and failures. Learn how to protect our heritage and the heritage of our children. Listen, America.
Which we tell begins one day in 1862, when a notice is posted in every village and city, and the people read,
"Any person 21 years of age
or the head of families may secure 160 acres of land
by residing thereon for a period of 5 years and improving the land."
I filed it, Annie. A claim for a homestead out in Idaho. 160 acres, and it's free. Goodbye to the mills, Annie. No more dark rooms to live in. And the kids can grow up strong. 160 acres to grow green things in. There'll be fresh air and sunlight, and we can start really living.
You'll have to take your case to another lawyer. Giving up my law practice. I grew up in the country. I've always wanted a chance to have a house of my own, some ground to farm. So my family and I are moving out to Nebraska, where the government's giving us 160 acres free.
Sure I'm going, Mother. I know there won't be a soul out there. I know it's no place for a woman. But since the war between the states, Joe hasn't been able to get a job. He knows how to farm, and he'll grow wheat and corn, and we can make something of our lives.
It's one thing to fight at Gettysburg like I did, and let everyone call you a hero. And it's another to come back from the war and wonder how to feed your wife and children. Well, the government's given me a homestead claim out in the Western Territory. It'll be hard to learn to handle the plow, but I'll manage. I'm good at using a rifle, and any redskins or animals better watch out for me.
Thousands and thousands of you homesteaders, bankers, lawyers, factory workers, sailors, soldiers, doctors, miners, with your wives and your children, filing homestead entries, rolling out to Iowa, to Montana, to Colorado, to Utah, to Nebraska, to New Mexico, to Arizona, to Idaho.
You are going out to a region that will challenge your courage and your endurance.
All of you, thousands of you, with high dreams, setting out to farm in Colorado, in Utah, in Idaho, in Arizona, in Wyoming, in western Nebraska.
Your fine hopes will be shattered. This is no farming land that you will homestead on. The Homestead Act, which is giving you this land, is an act which will have severe consequences. Much of this land to which you are going is a land of the drought, a land that is fit only for livestock to graze on, and not for the raising of crops. Much of this land is the land of the dry season, of sun-baked earth, hard to the touch of the plow blade. Land of little water, where for months the earth crumbles from the need of moisture. It is arid and semi-arid. 740 million acres of it.
But you do not know this, nor do the land offices when you file your claim. Tragedy will fall on you, the homesteading farmers, because you have come to a land which rightfully was meant for cattlemen, upon whom calamity will also fall.
...1884. Three homesteaders stand outside a shack and look across from a farm to the public domain, rolling out for hundreds of miles. A cowboy rides up.
Hi there.
Howdy, stranger.
What's on your mind?
Who's homesteading here?
I am.
See, you've been plowing.
Yep.
How long you folks been here?
Month.
What you aiming to grow?
Corn.
Man, you're crazy.
What do you mean?
Can't grow corn here. Look at the heat drying up the prairie. Why, by the 1st of August, it'll burn like powder. I've been through this country with longhorns from Texas for 6 years. I ain't never seen a drop of rain in July.
Yeah, don't you worry about us. We'll get along.
But I'm just advising. With no rain and my boss, I don't think it looks so good for you here.
What's your boss got to do with it?
Well, it's this way. You only been here a month, not long enough to know. But this is cattle country.
Now, ain't that too bad?
It may be too bad for the homesteaders.
Where does your boss come in?
You see, my boss owns 20,000 head of cattle. Takes a lot of rains land to feed 20,000 head. Takes a lot of water holes to keep them from dying from thirst in this heat. You come along here and take up the water holes. What does that leave our steers to drink from?
I guess Uncle Sam knows what he's doing.
Uncle Sam is 1,000 miles away in Washington. But you're here. I don't like it none, neither does my boss. I wouldn't be surprised if my boss tells me and the boys just to forget that you homesteaders put fences around your plowing and your water holes. When cows get hungry and thirsty, they don't much care where they go. Fences don't mean nothing when they're hungry and thirsty.
Well, that's all you come to tell us, stranger. You're wasting your time.
And don't say I didn't warn you.
We'll leave you alone. You leave us alone.
We were here first. This is cattle country.
If one of your dang steers come onto my homestead and eats my crops or tramps up my water hole, I'll use its hide to patch my roof.
It don't ever rain in this country. And you'll stretch rope if you shoot one cow. You better roll up your fences that are strung around here, or it just won't be healthy.
You get out of here quick, or it won't be healthy for you. We're pretty quick on the trigger ourselves. We come all the way out here from the east. Wasn't no fun coming out, but we got here. We're going to stay. We're going to raise wheat.
Farmers will never make any money here.
Why not?
Well, I'll tell you why. It don't rain here.
Well, that's our business. Now get out of here.
Yeah, I'm not going to get out. Don't say I didn't warn you. Because my boss aims to get you guys out of here.
You cannot be blamed, you homesteaders, for wanting to remain here after you have come so far to build a new life. But on the other hand, neither can you cattlemen be blamed for wanting the homesteaders to leave. This land is bad farmland. It is good grazing land. Neither of you can be blamed for the tragedy that will happen. Blame rather the lack of planning on the part of the government in 1862 for giving land to wheat and corn growers in territories unfit for agriculture, unfit unless irrigated, and so little could be irrigated.
They broke down my fence last night, trampled my potatoes, my corn, ate my wheat.
What you gonna do?
Guard those crops and shoot every cow that comes to my homestead.
Well, boss, they did it. 20 of our best steers shot.
Killing it is the only thing that'll keep them off. They're downright ornery. They aim to keep their homesteads and grow crops.
And I intend to have those homesteads to graze my cattle on.
But there's plenty of grass in the public range.
By this time next year, I'm going to have 3 times as many cattle and make 3 times as much money from them. We need all the land we can get, public range and otherwise. Drive them off, even if you got to kill them to get them off.
See here, I thought you were aiming to fight the homesteaders.
That's what I'm doing?
It seems you're including me in your plan.
What do you mean?
I'm your neighbor, and I'm also a cattleman. It's a funny way of being neighborly to put a fence up on the public range so I can't graze my cattle.
I left you plenty of public range to graze your cattle and left you a water hole and three streams. What more do you want?
You know darn well I need more land than that for my cattle. You treated the homesteaders that way, but you can't treat me that way.
My fence stays up and your cattle can't come into the range I'm using.
That range is all free. It's owned by the government. I have a perfect right to use it as well as you.
My fence stays up. Now get out of here.
Look ahead before it's too late. Look ahead, you homesteaders and you cattlemen. You'll see what's happening. Homesteaders trying to raise crops in the land of little rain, in a land of grassy plains where cattle should graze. Cattlemen forcing homesteaders to fight, greedily fighting among yourselves for rangeland that does not belong to you, but to the government. Putting up fences on land that is not yours, but belongs to all the people.
And all the while, nature is waiting. Waiting with ironic patience until she is ready to prove her strength.
Did you hear about Bill and his family? They went back east.
I've been thinking of it myself.
I was trying to build an irrigation ditch, drawing the water from Silver Creek. And a couple of cowboys shot at me, chased me back.
That land doesn't belong to them. Belongs to homesteaders and cattlemen alike. They ain't got no right fencing it in.
I like roses. I'm going to have lots of roses and put them in bowls all over the rooms.
Yes, Mary. You'll have your roses.
What's the matter with your wife?
Well, she ain't well. All this killing and the drought. She acts sort of strange.
Drought. No rain. If the cattle don't eat the wheat, the sun burns it up.
No. That's all right, Mary. You'll see. We'll have a fine crop next season.
Well, I'm getting out of here. This isn't any place to farm. I'm getting out of here.
Fences. Fences. Cattleman building a fence against his neighbor. Fencing all the government grazing land which rightfully belongs to all the people. Greedily raising more cattle to graze on too little land. Homesteaders fighting in the face of drought. Rivalry to raise crops where crops cannot be raised.
19-2. Theodore Roosevelt signs an order.
There. That'll take care of them.
You're making a big mistake, Mr. President.
You're the one who's making the mistake. You think you're still back in Wyoming and Nebraska, where you cattlemen take the law in your own hands. You've done a mighty fine job of lobbying for the cattle barons out there, but I've licked you. This order will take down all the fences the cattlemen have put up on public range.
But the cattlemen have a right
public to... Public ranges means just what it says. Range for the good of all. First, you tried to drive the homesteaders off the land.
They should never have been allowed to go out there to farm in the first place.
The Homestead Act made a lot of mistakes, I grant you. But this isn't 1862. This is 1902. Some homesteaders have managed to survive out there. They need protection, and I'm going to give it to them. The West must grow out of small families, not out of vast interests. There are a lot of farmers out there who have cattle. And if they want to use the public range to graze their cattle, you and your big ranch owners aren't going to keep them off. Now go back there and tell them that all fences are down.
But you do not obey Roosevelt's orders. You keep your fences up. You do not permit your neighbor to the right, to the public water holes. You use force to make your neighbor obey. You do not see what you are doing. Buying more and more cattle to graze season after season on rangeland that will not supply grass much longer for fartering.
And you, the homesteaders, you who have survived, you buy a little more land, then a little more, and plow your soil over and over again, raising wheat and corn and beans and potatoes in a good season because you do not know whether the next season will bring a drop of rain. But this is no land for farming.
The frontier is closing up. Listen. That's the railroad train hurrying along the tracks into Nevada, into Colorado, into Wyoming, where 20 years before Indians and wild animals roamed. America, your frontier is narrowing. The land hunger of you homesteaders, the dream of you cattlemen for vast empires have had their virtues, have brought about new towns, new cities. Salina, Carson City, Pueblo, Helena, Boise City, Tucson, Denver, Cheyenne. The Indians are gone. The elk and the deer and the buffalo gone. But still, the fight for the most dangerous monopoly of the world, the monopoly of the soil, goes on.
Well, boys, as I'm the foreman of this jury, it's up to me to make a little speech before we begin saying how we all feel about this verdict. This lion, cattle-killing homesteader claims that the Bar 4 Ranch let their cattle graze on the public range and didn't let him have use of the water hole at all.
Well, ain't that too bad.
And as the judge said, if we find that the Bar 4 Ranch is guilty, then they have to take down the fences as Roosevelt ordered.
The judge will be awful angry if we bring in a verdict of guilty, seeing that he was put into office by the Bar 4 Ranch.
The sheriff said that the charges made are absolutely ridiculous. And, of course, the fact that the sheriff is the brother-in-law of the boss of the Bar 4 Ranch might have something to do with his opinion.
Do we need to write down our vote, boys?
Shucks, no. I guess we're unanimous.
Right, well, let's go in and tell those homestead and weasels where to get off.
Look out, cattlemen of Nebraska, of Colorado, of Arizona, of Wyoming. Put up your barbed wire fences to keep out the homesteaders. Put up your barbed wire fences to keep out your neighbor cattleman from grazing his herds on land that belongs to all the community. Let your cattle continue to eat the feed on the public range without worrying whether or not you are grazing too many millions of livestock on too few millions of acres of dry land.
For the moment, you're safe as you watch the homesteaders struggle against the drought.
After the first few years, I thought I'd buy a few cattle myself and be able to make a living from that. But every cow died because I hadn't enough water for the stock. And the barbed wire fences that the rangers put up kept me from watering my cattle.
My corn won't sprout in this heat.
Every blade of buffalo grass is burned.
We gotta stick it out, boys. We just gotta stick it out.
And now, into the hills come living clouds of white, herds of sheep. What do they care for the barbed wire fences of the cattlemen and of the homesteaders? Look at them, eating everything as they come, eating the grass out of the ground, leaving the prairie open to weeds and to wind.
We cattlemen give you this warning. If you and your sheep aren't out of here by tomorrow morning, you'll be given the best funeral any sheep man ever had in these parts.
Back in 84, the cattlemen tried to drive us homesteaders out. Ever since then, they've had their own way. Now look what's happened.
Yeah, sheep ruining the public range for both of us.
It's time something was done about this.
What can be done?
Well, I'm going to write to the government. So you see, Mr. President, it's running sheep on government land. That's the new problem. The sheep eat the grass down to the roots. What's left, the cattlemen try to give their herds. That doesn't leave anything for us homesteaders. We have a few cattle of our own. The sheep are destroying grass that don't belong to them and make it impossible for a poor man to homestead on any of that public range because the people have ruined the soil. Besides that, this section is all fenced in by cattlemen who keep settlers away by violence. It's high time for the government to step in and stop this lawlessness.
And it's impossible for the honest settler to get located, because settlers who want to homestead on public grains are driven out, and their property destroyed, and they're killed. Please help us.
But there's nothing we can do anymore.
Monopoly of the soil. This soil that knows little rain. These lands being fought for by homesteaders, by cattlemen, by sheepmen. Fight each other, kill each other. Homesteaders keep plowing up the earth to get a good season's crop. Cattlemen grazing twice as many cattle as the land can hold. The sheep eat the roots out of the soil so that soon of you.
And nature still watches, patiently ironic, knowing that the plowed up earth, the public grazing lands, trampled upon and eaten by too many cattle, the grass-nibbled roots destroyed by flocks and flocks of sheep. And so she waits all during the next few years.
1914.
France needs wheat. England needs wheat. Belgium needs wheat. Wheat for the Allies.
Beef for the troops. Beef for the Allies.
Mutton. Mutton and wool for the Allies.
$100 a steer.
$120 a steer.
$150 a steer.
$220 for a bushel of wheat.
Grazing lands changing hands at $10 an acre.
Farming lands changing hands at $35 an acre.
War profiteering.
Buy more land, you farmers out in the arid regions of the West. Here is success. Fate has brought you rainy seasons and war. All the wheat that you can raise can be sold.
Now your historic feud with the cattlemen is insignificant. Here is a world crying for beef.
Laugh with the joy of financial success, you sheepherders. The world needs mutton and the world needs wool.
There's no stopping you now. What was all this talk of failure? What was all this talk of plowing too much land? Of grazing too many cattle on too little land? Of ruining the land by the continual nibbling of the grass by the sheep?
The rain will continue to fall. The war will continue. The high prices will go on. The real estate values will increase.
But nature is still waiting with patient irony, waiting to punish all of you. You sheepmen, you cattlemen, you homesteaders, for the painless way in which the wealth of this country has been used for the past 50 years.
1920, 1921.
Post-war depression. Prices are falling.
1925, 26, 27. Look out, you cattlemen grazing too many cattle on too little land. Look out, you sheepmen, loosening the topsoil with the hard hoofs of your sheep. Ruining the grass with the fine, sharp teeth of your sheep. Look out, you farmers. The rainy period has come and gone.
Drought. Drought. Drought.
1929.
Gentlemen, our bank is assured that this drop in the market is only a temporary fluctuation.
This is a worldwide crisis.
Who are you?
I am an economist.
Oh, don't be so pessimistic. We've had depressions before.
None like this one. Farmers can't sell their wheat at $1 a bushel. Cattle are selling at $75 a head. People haven't the money to eat. Sheep will go on starving.
And now, nature has waited long enough. Thousands and thousands of square miles of valuable topsoil have been ruined by the too constant use of the plow, by the lack of planting, by the hoofs and the teeth of the cattle and sheep. The valuable topsoil has been loosened from the roots of the grass and the roots of the trees by the profligate and unthinking farmer, cattleman, and sheepman.
And now nature signals to the elements. The wind begins to blow over the great plains.
I can't breathe.
The sky is black with dust.
It isn't dust. It's the topsoil. The wind is blowing the land away.
The cattle are dying from dust. The water holes are filled with dust.
The sheep are dying from the dust.
You would monopolize the soil. You, the homesteader, you, the cattleman, you, the sheepman. That was all you cared about for the past 50 years. Now you are all owners of a bankrupt land. And when the wind finally dies down, your wheat and your crops have suffocated from the dust. Your cattle and sheep lie dead.
Your soil is valueless and thick with topsoil that you yourself mistreated until nature turned on you.
1934.
All my money is tied up in farm machinery. All my money is tied up in this land. The dust storms and the drought have licked me. This isn't any land for a farmer. The government made a mistake when they gave land to homesteaders and brought them out here to this section where it never rains. I guess the cattlemen were right. This land is only fit for grazing.
Today, the bone pickers are coming. They'll pick up the skeletons of my cattle and take them down to Mexico to make food for other animals. I guess I should have seen this would happen. All of us ruined the land by letting too many cattle graze on it so that all the strength went out of the land and they didn't have anything to eat after a while.
I gotta sell my sheep ranch. I was too sure of myself. Thought there was enough land for all the sheep in the world to go on nibbling. Ruining the topsoil, putting great gaps into the soil. What'll we do now?
What do we do now?
What can be done?
Land in Idaho, in Montana, in the Dakotas, in New Mexico, in Arizona, in Colorado, in Wyoming, and in Utah. Here is land no longer fit for grazing. Land that still belongs to the government, but has been misused by those who fought to keep it for 50 years.
The land is eroded, gullied, needing medication, needing protection, needing conservation.
So, in 1934, the government withdraws all vacant public lands from sale or settlement. No longer can land fit only for grazing be homesteaded by a farmer. No longer can cattlemen overgraze the public range. Under the administration of the Taylor Grazing Act, 120 million acres of public lands have been divided into grazing districts, and all cattlemen and sheep herders are allocated to the extent of their grazing area and the number of stock that may be put on that land to graze. By this planned method, there is a balance between the number of livestock and the forage available on the grazing lands. As land is rehabilitated, no livestock will be permitted to graze. Conservation agencies are rehabilitating the eroded and worn out soil. Here is conservation indeed. Here is planning for the good of all. Conservation must be the American 20th century ideal. Look to the future, America! Here is a special announcement. Listen carefully.
Every listener to this program may have a free publication packed full of interesting information about our country's natural wealth. It is a publication which every man, woman, and child in America should have. Send for your free copy now. Address What Price America, Washington, D.C., and a free publication will be sent to you at once. Let me repeat, if you want this important booklet, just send your name and address, a postcard will do, to What Price America, Washington, D.C.
Next week at this same time, the Department of the Interior, in cooperation with the Columbia Network, presents the 13th program of the series, What Price America. Listen next week to What Price America.
The series What Price America is written by Bernard C. Schoenfeld, based on research by Hugh Russell Fraser. The Columbia String Orchestra is conducted by Leon Goldman. The entire production is under the direction of William N. Robeson. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.